Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
Some of the things we're doing without Congress are making a difference, but we could do so much more if Congress would just come on and help out a little bit.
There are 321 House passed bills that are sitting in the United States Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
What I've tried to employ the female members of my family is that let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions.
Fighting for you.
Kevin Miller's my name. Making it happen's my game. I got a cobra-like trust, and I will kill if I must.
Where did I hear that before?
I know. You made that phrase famous.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Hey, diddle, diddle, right up the middle.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, welcome to Friday, and in honor of Friday, Kay Miller with you here. We're going to give you a chance to win another family four-pack, or a four-friend pack, if you will, to Big and Rich. That'll be September 5th at the Ford Amphitheater at the Idaho Center. So when you hear a Big and Rich song, whether it's the bumper music or whether it's the bumper music, call our 10 at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Joining us now is our political consultant, Dustin Cook, who has worked for the governor, he's worked for the senator, he's worked for a lot of people, and now he works for us. Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning, Kevin. Nice to be back with you.
Good to have you here. So a lot of people have been saying, you know, usually the summer is kind of a downtime for politics, but there's a lot been happening lately. What has caught your attention when you're on the streets, whether hanging out with your former boss, the governor, or the creative class on Bannock?
You know, one of the things that I've seen that's kind of interesting is now that the August recess is upon us, they've kind of tabled the immigration issue, you know, until a later date. I thought that's kind of interesting. That's gotten a lot of press. You know, we even have some of those kids coming to Idaho.
Well, not according to the governor.
Well, right, not according to the governor, but according to the federal government, they want to send some of those kids here to Idaho.
Right.
But, yeah, that and as well, it's just been an interesting kind of summer. The foreign policy thing has really stuck out to me as far as...
I mean, have they really punted on immigration? Because yesterday, there was a meltdown yesterday, another kind of like what we're seeing here in Idaho, where you have John Boehner on the brink. The border bill was a fiasco, yet they still haven't left for their alleged August recess. What they do on that recess, I don't know, but apparently they're still debating.
Yeah, they are still debating. I honestly don't think anything would probably be done until they come back from recess, to be honest with you.
Well, I disagree here. You know, you haven't been here a while, have you? Have you been? What have you been doing? Because you seem to be out of your element here. Look, there's a big fear going on. Do you know what that big fear is?
The fear that all these guys are going to be documented and be able to stay here, these kids.
Well, no. What do you listen to in the morning? Who do you listen to?
I listen to you, Kevin.
Right? Well, then here's a little something for you.
So yeah. I know who's asked to kick.
There you have it, the president. He's upset. You know the deal about that, right? The big fear.
I have not heard that part.
Right. The president. Now, wait a minute. Is this what you political people do? You get me to do your job for you?
No.
Yes.
No.
You've got me talking politics. You're the one supposed to be talking politics, Dustin.
Kevin,
not me.
I don't want your blood pressure going up.
This is Tampa all over again. Yeah, but the president of the United States says, A, he's begging to be impeached, according to Glenn Beck and others, and he's going to, with a pen and his paper and his phone, legalize the illegals.
Well, I think there's a big concern by a lot of people in Congress that the president of the United States has been overreaching with his executive power, and it seems every opportunity that he seems to find a way to push that, you know, push that moment to where he thinks he can go further with that.
Right. But back to what I just said, Dustin, at 580-KIDO. By the way, if you have a question for Dustin, 580-5436, 580-5436. The issue being that Congress hasn't left. They're fearful the president is going to do this. And many people think that the president should be impeached. The president wants to be impeached, allegedly, because it's going to help his fundraising, which has already helped the Democrats. Is this, when it comes to raising money, is this any way to run a country?
You know, no, I don't think it is. And I think we've all learned our lessons that, you know, you can go down the road of impeachment and you can go down that road and that'll get you only so far. But honestly, I think Americans in general, their biggest complaint right now is kind of just on both sides of the aisle is just the inaction of Congress. There's just not a lot being done right now. You know, a lot of people are taking sides and I think that frustrates the American public. I mean, look at the approval rating in Congress right now.
Yeah, but the approval rating of Congress is always that way.
Right, but I mean, can you think any time in your recent memory, Kevin, where so much has not been done in D.C., where, I mean, there hasn't been, like, some huge type of legislation that's got through that's been, you know, something that people could say, yeah, you know, you could tie yourself to this or that. I mean, I can't think of anything in the last 2 years that the president's really pushed through other than the Obamacare.
Right, right. All right, Dustin, we continue on here at 580KIDO. Let's get back to Idaho politics, which is where I wanted you to go to begin with.
Okay.
And you decided to go to Washington, D.C. You been to D.C. lately?
I haven't been in a while.
Why are we talking about D.C. politics?
We should talk about Idaho.
Right.
So, Idaho politics. Kind of interesting. You have the opponent against the governor running out there, television ads and stuff, so it's, you know.
No, Dustin. Let's reset here. Okay, yeah. Do we have the reset bell? 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our political consultant, Dustin Cook, with us here. And, you know, Dustin, it's been a hot and heavy season of politics in the summer. Usually people are chilling out. What's going on in politics here in the summer? What's the skinny?
Well, the skinny is, as you know, Congressman Raul Labrador has recently hired Dan Popke.
Oh, you're going to the Popke card. I'm talking Barry Peterson and the injunction, the big brouhaha that's been going on.
Well, that's probably been one of the bigger pieces of this offseason has been the injunction. You know, the article came out. Barry has said that he will step aside from politics and let those, I believe there's three candidates now that are going to run.
Right, but I mean, we have this convention that continue to carry over. You have a lot of grassroots people upset with the governor. You have a lot of people that say this might impact the general election. What's going on?
You know, I don't think it'll impact the general election as a whole. I think, you know, they have the meeting, I believe, tomorrow. I think come Monday, the party will unite like it always has in Idaho. I don't think a lot of people saw this coming up at the convention, you know, where we just didn't even vote on that type of thing. I think there was some concern that, you know, from my own personal standpoint, if I was a delegate and I went to Northern Idaho and I spent my gas money, hotel accommodations to go up there and have nothing done, I think there's a kind of a bad taste from.
Well, who do you blame?
I don't know who you blame.
Who do you blame?
I would.
Who was the chairman of the convention?
Well, I mean, you blame
who was
Barry.
The chairman of the convention?
I think you blame, you know.
Who was the chairman of the convention?
I believe it was Barry, I believe.
No, it was Congressman Labrador.
Oh, right. Well, Congressman Labrador chaired the convention, but I mean the.
Yes, who was the chairman of the convention?
Raul.
Yes.
The congressman.
So who do you blame?
You could blame the chairman.
Well, I will blame the chairman because no one else has enough guts in the state to do this. Just because you're conservative, just because you're a true believer, doesn't mean that you get inoculated from blame. In my opinion, tell me where I'm wrong, political consultant here at 580KIDO.
Right. I think.
Let me finish. Thank you. Where I'm wrong, where all of a sudden you have the chairman of the convention that allegedly is running for majority leader that comes in there, it's a boondoggle, it's a disaster, he gets out of town, nobody holds him accountable. Oh, by the way, the political reporter that has been the scourge of every Republican now is his press secretary, and nobody finds anything wrong with that except, humbly, Kevin Miller. Why? Where am I wrong on this?
Well, I think, you know, I think there, honestly, in my opinion, I don't think he should have been chairing the convention at all.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. Where am I wrong in this, and why is he not getting any blame for this disaster? Dustin, when you mess up at work, what happens?
You get fired.
No, Dustin, you get blamed,
right? Right, you get blamed for
it. Right.
Right.
Yeah, let's not use that in this show, please. No. You get me nervous. But back to this issue here, I mean, you get some blame.
Right. There's accountability that has to be put there. Absolutely.
And I just didn't really see anything with this convention.
Right. And I think if you go back to the convention, there was so much targeted on Barry, you know, in that situation, that I think that you're right. The eyes was not on the congressman because he came in, he chaired the convention and went back to D.C. So a lot of that, you know, stemmed around Barry, you know, kind of being the front piece on that. If you look at what happened there, I mean, Barry was in the news every single day, and that story just kind of never went away. And then it went to the, you know, the attorneys got involved, and then there was the injunction, and it just, I think that kind of, in some ways, in my opinion, helped the chairman, you know, kind of, you know, be in the shadows of the situation.
Well, because we didn't have the political reporter that asked Governor Otter how he holds him accountable, really didn't cover it. And look, Dan Popke's a great guy, but, you know, the idea that there were glowing stories about Congressman Labrador for the last 6 months, I can remember telling you, and you remember our conversations off the air, I go, what's going on here? And then I would talk to Dave Burnett about it. It just didn't seem you know, again, your typical Dan Popke, who, what was he talking about with Governor Otter, what, 2 or 3 years ago, when he was talking about the Triple Threat Alliance or something like that, the Axis of Evil, and that the governor had seen all of those. So we take a look at Dan Popke, the dean of Idaho Political Reporting, not a favorite with Republicans. All of a sudden, he's the press secretary for the arguably one of the more conservative members of Congress. Why?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at...
No, I don't think. Why?
Well, my, you know, my opinion on that is, you know, Dan Popke has been in, for 30 years, has been the journalist, you know, for political, you know, he knows the people. I was talking to someone yesterday that, you know, the one thing that a lot of these legislators and even the congressmen, they get into office, and there's a lot of political people in Idaho that have been around for decades, and they see something happen in the legislature or that, and they're kind of like, why did that happen? You know, well, why did it go that way?
Are you going to answer the question?
Yes. And so to have an ally like that, I think that's why it did happen. He, you know, he's been doing politics for 30 years. Dan, you know, like or love him, he knows the politics. He knows the people. He knows the situations. He's been through every, you know, political party in the last three decades. And to have someone like that as an ally on your team.
Well, no, an ally, you're a paid staffer,
right,
number
one.
An employee, number one.
Sure.
And number two, what does that mean for the people that are in his staff in his Murnane office? They're not keeping him in touch? Look, the idea, and you're missing the point here. Now, don't be politically correct. You know the deal with this show.
Right.
You know the deal. You know better than the way you're behaving right now.
Okay.
You do know, the, you know, as you like just torquing me here at 580KIDO, you know better. Look, and you know because you talk to these people. You are one of these people.
Sure.
There are people on the establishment, the grassroots, that feel befuddled, feel betrayed, because they've been popkeyed, if you will. Popke on politics. Look at the in-depth report on Lawrence Denny. Look at the reporting in the past on Senator Craig. Look at all these other things. Now, because we have a sophomore congressman who comes in and says, I'm going to hire this guy, who has difficult relations with other folks in elected office in Idaho, I think that's troubling.
Right, and I think that's where the concern from that side of the party comes from. They're just, you know,
I think from every side of the party.
Yeah, I would think there was a, you know, yeah, I would absolutely agree with you on that. I mean, there's, I think everybody, when they saw that headline, you know, was like, well, nobody saw that coming. I can't see anybody that even saw that coming.
But I just don't understand that Dan Popke is going to help Raul Labrador with politics in Idaho. Has Dan Popke ever been elected to office in Idaho?
No, but again, I don't think the hire of Dan Popke is someone that is very well vetted in the political process in Idaho in the last three decades.
Hey, but do you need that as a press secretary? Just write press releases.
Well, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, you're looking at somebody that's got a lot of years left on him in the congressman. He's probably got higher aspirations of office.
Such as?
Probably governor someday. So, I mean, if you look at something like that.
Shouldn't he be worried about his job that he's elected for?
Well, absolutely, but
I think. See, this is what I don't get. And China Gum, and I told you you should have listened to that interview yesterday, but you didn't listen, so we continue. China Gum and I got into this yesterday where she's telling me about, well, you know, national attention. Look. Here's the skinny on this, and I'm not a congressman, I'm not a governor, but I will acknowledge people that do a good job. You look at Governor Otter, what does he focus on? He focuses on Idaho. You take a look at Mike Simpson, that a lot of conservatives vilify, the guy focuses in on the INL, he focuses in on jobs, number three in appropriations. And this is a lesson that I've had to learn as being on the big shows. That does nothing for you. That does nothing for you. Being a big deal in Washington, what does that really do? Higher offices? Hey, you're elected for the first district. I think Congressman Labrador does a good job. But look, it's Meridian, it's Nampa, it's having people that know those cities and what goes on there that is going to get you reelected.
Yeah, you have to know your constituents. You have to know what they want.
Right,
yeah.
David Gregory, with his declining ratings on Meet the Press, cannot help you. More with our intrepid, erudite political consultant, Dustin Cook, next here at 580KIDO. If you have a question for him. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Everyone is talking to Kevin Miller.
Paula Poundstone, thank you for joining us.
Oh, geez. Thank you so much.
Jimmy V.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good.
Every morning.
Join the conversation with Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dustin Cook with us, our political correspondent. Dustin, your thoughts?
My thoughts are, as we get towards this is August, we're less than 100 days out from the governor's race. You're going to start to see a lot of that heat up. I think you, like you said, you have the August recess. You'll have the members here from Congress home visiting their constituents, and I think this governor's race is going to start to heat up. You're going to see some things happen in the next 90 days. It'll be, you know, there's a big lead for the governor now, but I think you'll also see that tighten a little bit. It'll be an interesting race as we go forward.
By the way, I will say this. A lot of people say, well, Kevin, you and Dustin are going back and forth here. All Dustin does seem to do is get you fired up, which he did in Tampa. But when it came to actually predicting the primary results, you had it right on.
Half percentage point, I think I was off in the governor's race.
Yes. Dustin Numbers Cook is where we should start calling you Numbers. Tea Party Bob joins us now at 580 KIDO for Dustin Cook.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin? Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful.
Tea Party
Thank
Bob.
Thank you very much. I'm just kind of curious. You had it so right on the primary. Now, we know the governor won by one of the smallest margins, if not the smallest margin, for anybody else. How do you think that's going to carry over if he doesn't reconcile the party between now and the November election?
Great question, Tea Party Bob. You know, one of the things that I think we have to come to terms with is after the August 2nd meeting, the Republican Party has to rally around everyone, unify. That's a big deal. That has to happen sooner than later. I believe that will happen sooner than later. Here in Idaho, we've been good stewards of that. You know, no matter what side of the party you're on, the far right, the middle, people come together for the greater good. I think that will have to happen for the governor to obviously be reelected here for his unprecedented third term. And, you know, I think Idahoans will see that, even in eastern Idaho, northern Idaho, and here in the Treasure Valley. And it's just going to take, you know, unifying the party and coming together for the greater good. I don't think anybody in the Republican Party thinks that having a Democrat governor would be a good thing for our state.
Tea Party Bob, what do you think to Dustin's comments?
Well, I think you're very wrong, and I don't think you've really been talking to the grassroots people as I have. There are very many people out there that are very annoyed about a lot of the things the governor did, particularly in getting a lot of his cronies to take these precinct committee jobs. That was not what people would call nice. And I think you're going to find that uniting this party is going to take a lot more than just calling them together for a meeting on Saturday. That's not going to work. There has been no conciliation whatsoever. We haven't heard from the governor, and I can't tell you how long, about what happened in the primary. And the simple fact that, you know, he only had one debate in the primary is probably one of the reasons that he won by that one-half or 1%. My point is that the people of Idaho, the grassroots of Idaho, are tired, I mean really sick and tired, of being pushed around by the establishment people. And I don't think you know how deep this goes, but I'd certainly like to know what you feel about it, because I've got a totally different take on it.
Sure. Tea Party Bob, you know, what to say that there isn't, it doesn't go deep, I would think that, I would never say that. If you look at what happened to the convention, I think that's a pretty good barometer that it is. It kind of is deep, and, you know, it didn't happen yesterday. I mean, there's obviously been a part of the party and with the establishment that has, you know, wanting to, you know, push their ideas for the last 3 or 4 years. And honestly, you know, I think the governor will come out after the August 2nd meeting. He will unify the party. I've always told people many times, the governor is a very conservative individual. And, you know, most politicians, you're not going to agree with 100% of the time. But if you agree with them 80 or 90% of the time, that's probably the person you want leading your state. We have the lowest unemployment we've had. He's brought us through the recession. I mean, there's a lot of great things that you can look to the governor as
well. Wait, Dustin, I agree with you. You know, he's a conservative person, but don't get into the values of the governor as far as the economy goes, because that is not some place you want to go with me. You know, the whole point here is that if you take the governor's record for the last 7 years, it is not a good record. It's not a good record in GDP. It's not a good record when it comes to the amount of minimum wage jobs we have. It's not a good record in the amount of money people are making that they were making prior to the last 5 years. He does not have a good economic record.
Well, Dustin, how do you respond to that?
Well, Tea Party Bob, you know, I respect your opinion, but I'd have to disagree on that. I mean, if you look, when the governor went, you know, he's been in office now almost nearly two terms. And when, you know, you never know what you're going to get on the job. And when the economy crashed, the governor had some pretty bravery. You know, the Democrats came to him and said, you know, let's just empty the state coffers and just let's get this economy going. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to ride it out. We're going to put a little money aside each year. And if you look, there's statistics out there. When we came back out of the this long, long recession, Idaho was only a handful of states in the entire country that it was in the black.
All right, Tea Party Bob, thank you. Quickly to Miles at 580KIDO for Dustin.
Well, the question that I would ask is why, what is in common with Dan Popke and Labrador? And I think that there is a fairly obvious answer to that.
And what's that?
Are we there?
Yeah, and what's that?
Both are very aggressive and dedicated to producing. Labrador went up and down the first district asking the question, has the governor lost his way? And someone needs to find out, where is the lantern? We had people go to the convention, go all the way up to Moscow, and they came home empty-handed. The people who didn't like being thrown out of office and pushed away rebelled to that. They found themselves spending money for 3 days in motels, and the credentials weren't ceded from Ada County. The credentials weren't ceded from Power County. There was a lot of resentment for the governor micromanaging the entire party.
Great point, Miles. Thank you for that. Dustin, thank you. You're listening to 580KIDO.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Now, don't forget, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Your chance to win tickets to Big and Rich when you hear the Big and Rich song. You call our 10 at 580-5436. 580-KIDO, that could be the Kimberly Adams theme song, Walk Like an Egyptian, live from Cairo. She joins us now at 580-KIDO. Good morning.
Good morning. I thought that theme music might be for me.
That was. That was Ray Amaya, his way of saying welcome. And how welcoming is it in Israel and Egypt today?
Well, the situation in Israel and in Gaza is quite bad today, and the Egyptian effort to be part of the ceasefire agreement that is now falling apart also seems to be falling by the wayside. So basically overnight, we had a new ceasefire agreement hammered out by the United Nations and the United States that was supposed to last for 72 hours. It didn't even last 3. This morning, we had Israeli shelling in southern Gaza, tank shelling that killed at least 35 Palestinians. And then part of that ceasefire was that Israel would continue its operations to destroy tunnels that go under the border between the Gaza Strip and Israel. And while they were doing that this morning, gunmen came out of one of those tunnels and attacked Israeli soldiers, killing at least 2 of them and possibly capturing another one. With all of these developments, there have been statements from various groups that were supposed to be at these ceasefire talks to work out a longer truce here in Cairo tomorrow that they're not coming.
Just how much of a threat are these tunnels, and what's the Egyptian perspective of the tunnels?
The tunnels are a big threat to Israel. I mean, the tunnels have been used historically for Hamas militants to go into Israel, to kidnap people, to launch attacks on military bases in Israel. And there are also tunnels that are used to move consumer goods, because there has been a 7-year blockade of the Gaza Strip, so it's very difficult to get some supplies in Gaza Strip, and those that are available tend to be quite expensive. And so that leads to your second part of that question, which is the Egyptian position on those tunnels. Egypt is battling its own network of underground tunnels leading from the Gaza Strip into Egypt's Sinai Peninsula near that Rafah border crossing. Those are mainly smuggling tunnels that have been used to move weapons into the Gaza Strip, but also consumer goods, medical supplies, sometimes cars, even fast food delivery. And Egypt has been aggressively going after those tunnels especially over the last year since the ouster of Islamist President Mohamed Morsi.
Kimberly Adams joining us live from Cairo here at 580 KIDO. Does it get fatiguing?
I think that all of the parties that are working on a peace deal are pretty exhausted by this process. I mean, Secretary of State John Kerry, even when he was announcing this ceasefire, he sort of, you know, shrugged his shoulders and was saying, like, look, nobody can make these two parties form peace together. They have to have the initiative, and I hope they take this opportunity. But these ceasefires, this is like the fifth ceasefire deal that's fallen apart, and it looks like both sides of this conflict have goals for a lasting agreement that are just completely contrary to the other. Hamas wants that blockade lifted. Israel doesn't want to lift it, worrying that Hamas will use it to rearm itself and continue to attack Israel. Israel wants Hamas completely demilitarized in the Gaza Strip. Hamas is refusing to put down its weapons.
580KIDO, as we continue on, since these ceasefires have been blowing up all the time, Kimberly, is there any type of fear or possibility that this violence could expand throughout the region?
There doesn't seem to be a lot of concern that it's going to expand beyond the Gaza Strip into the region. But as you know, Kevin, this region is not exactly lacking for violence right now. I mean, just to the west of me in Libya, there is a major ongoing battles in the capital, Tripoli, as well over the airport. And then Islamist militants claim they've taken over the second city of Benghazi. And then also we have rising sectarian violence in Iraq, where ISIS has taken over large parts of the country in the north. And then, of course, there's the ongoing civil war in Syria, which just continues to kill hundreds and thousands of people and displace millions.
Kimberly, one concern is the Iranians always lurking around, never a fan of Israel. We've talked about this in the past week, where we've had other folks that aren't fans of the Israelis but are backing them covertly, or what have you, the Saudis and others that don't like Hamas or the Muslim Brotherhood. But the Iranian factor in this, any vibe on that from Cairo?
Yes, there's actually been a bit of a dust-up between Iran and Egypt in the past couple of days, because Iran wants to send what it's calling humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip, and they say that they've sent many tons of food and medicine and supplies that they're trying to get over the Egyptian border into the Gaza Strip, but that the Egyptian government has been delaying it unnecessarily, and they launched a very public criticism of that, and also criticized Egypt for not allowing more aid into Gaza and not allowing women and children who are injured out of Gaza. And so Iran is making a very public statement against Egypt for basically working with the Israelis to maintain this blockade of the Gaza Strip, which is not a very popular thing to be doing in this part of the world.
Boy, that's such a tough balance, Kimberly, because you have the Israelis getting bombed with these missiles, and thank goodness the Iron Dome is saving a lot of those folks. You've got the tunnels, then you've got the missiles being put in populated areas, Israel protecting itself, innocent people getting hurt. Then you have the outrage from the international community. I mean, this seems like a no-win situation for all involved.
It really does, which is one of the reasons why it seems particularly hard to achieve peace, especially when the parties have such different ideas of what peace actually looks like.
Kimberly Adams joining us. Anything that we should be looking out for over the weekend? Perhaps another visit by John Kerry? Perhaps maybe Putin will to jump in? Who knows?
I think over the weekend we should be looking to see if this particular ceasefire deal can be salvaged, if the parties can agree to maybe try and institute the ceasefire and stick to the terms of it. Then we may actually see some negotiations happening in Cairo over the weekend for a longer-term deal. If not, unfortunately, I think we will be seeing more violence over the weekend.
Finally, how stable is Egypt, and how secure do you feel?
Egypt is quite stable right now at the cost of quite a few of the civil liberties here. There are a lot of activists and journalists who are in prison here. The new military-backed government has been quite strict about limiting protests and demonstrations and not exactly as open as we would like in terms of freedom of speech. That said, a lot of the violence and lack of security that we saw over the last year, a year and a half, seems to have abated, although we do still have terrorist attacks and bombings here that are a big cause for concern.
580 KIDO. Kimberly, we appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, we'll take a look at the August recess. In addition to that, in the 8 o'clock hour, what you can do to help out the Samaritan Ministries. And we'll take your emails as well. Let's get you to work safely now.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
They have announced that they're going to sue me for taking executive actions to help people. So, you know, they're mad because I'm doing my job.
Is he doing his job? Good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's go to Daryl with the Canyon County Tea Party. Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning, Kevin. Did I miss Dustin?
Oh, yes. Dustin's gone.
Oh, okay. Will he be there Saturday? Maybe we could chat there.
I offered him a spot with the panel, but I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You know these young people today, they're all talk. The real folks come in on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to repair the party, so it doesn't look like it from what I've been hearing all the way up to Bonner County.
Well, what's your take on Dan Popke's new job?
Well, I don't know. Otter had, what was his name, John, can't remember his name anymore, but the one that was the campaign manager for, dang, it's early in the morning.
Daryl.
Oh.
Well, we'll catch you on Saturday.
The one that ran against.
Oh my gosh, Daryl, you gotta go. You don't know the name. What happened?
I don't know. My coffee. I haven't finished it yet.
All right,
anyway,
sir. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll be there.
Okay.
Let him grind you down, bud.
Thank you, sir. All right, our great friend Daryl from Canyon County. That happens a lot. If you'll ever notice that with me, I'll go. Well, back to the story. Blah 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 blah. Now, what did I say? Huh. It happens to all of us, Daryl. No worries. Let's go to a man who's never at a loss for words. Tom Munns joins us with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
No loss of words.
That's you, buddy.
I'm speechless.
You know, I'm starting to bring back the term bunky. I kind of like that bunky.
You know, you can call me, if you're referring to me, you can call me whatever you want.
Well.
Everybody else does.
So what can we do for you?
You know, you'd mentioned something about our, about your president.
Oh, gee, thanks.
And about the fact that he's just doing his job, I just found that extremely humorous.
Well, he says he's doing his, wait a minute, he says he's doing his job. And by the way, Tom Munns, I'm going to give you some advice from President Obama.
Stop just hating all the time.
Yeah, Tom.
Come on.
Tom.
Let's get some work done
yeah,
together.
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, well, you know, I've told you this, I think a couple of years ago, I when in my more ranting and raving days, I had made a claim that I would love to have him come to Idaho and debate him on a...
Well, you want to debate everybody. Forum. You want to debate everybody.
Not anymore, I don't. I can't be effective that way. I'm changing my tactics. I'm going to be loving and sweet a little bit more.
Hold on. I like this. So can we enter you as a sweet Tom Munns?
Well, I'm, you know what? There's such a thing as being sweet and kind, but being truthful and honorable.
I don't think there's anything wrong with sweet Tom Munns.
Well, we can try it and see how it works. But they tell me that I can attract more, bees with honey, I guess, than, salt and vinegar or whatever they call it. But I think maybe if I just continue to do this long enough, people will understand. You know, I used to think maybe he was nuts, and maybe now he's not so nuts. But I just hope that it's before it's not too late, if it isn't already.
Well, if it was, you had a good run.
Well, you know, and it was kind of cool because we got to deviate from the original thing that I wanted to talk about with our president, which is probably good for all of the people that are listening. But he really has no authority to, you know, it's okay to break the law as long as you're helping people. That's the question of today, isn't it?
Right. Words to live by, Tom. Thank you. Traffic at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave. Congratulations to Nate in Caldwell winning the fun four-pack to Big and Rich. Coming up next, your chance to win a pair of tickets right here with me, Kay Millie. Neither big nor rich, but a fan at 580KIDO.
Serving M.